Carmen and Yurko on ESPN 1000. Chicago's home for sports.
Miss something? The podcast is out there. The all-new ESPN Chicago app is here. Get it now. Get it in the App Store and Google Play.
All right, Yurk, breeze us through these calls here, because everybody's got some advice and opinion.
Everybody's got thoughts on this, Carm. It's the craziest thing in the world.
Yeah, your streaming services.
And we're going Brian and Addison. Brian, welcome aboard. What are your thoughts on this ESPN Plus craziness?
Hey, good morning, gentlemen. First-time caller. Met you at a handful of watering holes in the past.
Beautiful.
Yeah, so I've got two things. One thing about each of them. So, with the ESPN Plus, you guys are employed by them. Wouldn't that be like a little perk that they could throw in for you guys?
They don't. We're technically not. We're owned by Good Karma Brands.
Yeah, so they don't care about us.
Yeah, wouldn't that be Disney then, too?
Or? Yeah, still we're not owned by Disney. Still not owned by Disney.
We're not owned by
Good Karma Brands.
But then in regards to the Red Zone, I do know YouTube TV, that is part of their package, too. But the downfall is, if you sign up with YouTube TV, you can only have three TVs streaming. So if you want to watch multiple games on top of Red Zone, it doesn't really work out.
So we're screwed the pooch. All right, Brian. Thanks a lot, partner. We appreciate that.
So YouTube TV does it. That's another one I didn't even mention.
Cody.
I mean, I don't have that either.
Cody in South Bend. Cody, what's going on?
How's it going, fellas? I like to dabble in the betting scene. Again, YouTube TV is awesome. It's only $64 bucks. $10 for the Red Zone and includes all the college games, like the MAC, everything. Everything you can think of, they got it for $10. And then NBA Pass is only $24 a month. So it's a lot better than Comcast because so I do have Xfinity for the internet, but the package itself for the YouTube is a lot cheaper than getting it from Comcast because just let alone the ESPN package on Comcast is like $125. But with this on YouTube TV, you get every college football game and then every NBA game for a total of what, like $89, $90.
But so and then you have to do a separate you got to piece together the other things though, like the ESPN.
And personal. Also, you got DVR too. You got 200 some hours of DVR, so it's live TV, and it's awesome. So I highly recommend it.
All right, let's go to Matt and Roselle. Matt, what do you got, kid?
Hey, guys. How are you?
Great.
So what I did is, Carmen, like you, I'm getting tired of the prices. So about a year ago, what I did is I went and I got Hulu Live, which was $59 at the time. Now I think it's $64. You do not get Red Zone with that. So what I did was my nephew hooked me up with an Amazon stick, and I pay $26 for IPTV. It's a sports package. I get any and every sporting event across the world for $26.
Is that legal? Is that like some sort of modded stick, or is it legal?
No, it's legal.
Okay.
You're paying for it. It's legal. I'm not getting it for free. I'm paying for it. $26, everything. Soccer, cricket, basketball, baseball, everything. Anything you want.
How about Australian rules football?
Yes.
What's that called? Matt, what is it called? IP what?
Stick.
IPTV.
IPTV. I never even heard of it.
I love it. Thank you, Matt. We appreciate it. Boy, I love this.
You ever hear of that? IPTV?
I have never heard of that. Dion Miller, who does the pregame show with me, was telling me about something similar that I think her and her husband both use. I think the problem or concern is that if at some point sports leagues crack down a little bit on some of the streaming services and what gets out there, that some of it can be eliminated from something like that. So it's illegal, but the sustainability of it,
Matt, Little Italy, what do you got, kid?
Hey, boys, good morning. I think I got the solution for you. So like the previous caller, Hulu is owned by Disney, so there is the add-on for ESPN Plus, Disney, and then the Hulu Live. And they also added this year the Red Zone package. So it's a sports package. I think it's like $7.99 a month. Okay. And then you can turn it off, and it does include Red Zone. So if you want to switch, you get everything at Hulu and the live TV. So I think that's the route to go.
and then during the NFL season, just pay for the extra $8 a month, and that gets you Red Zone. Okay. I didn't realize that. That's good. This is good advice. Matt, thanks, man.
All right. I got to go down. Joe in Indiana. Joe, what are your thoughts? Help Carmen out. He needs it.
Hey, how's it going, guys? Pretty much the same thing that the last gentleman just said. We went Hulu, $7 a month for the sports package, ESPN. I get all my Bulls, Red Zone, everything. I dump Comcast and saved about $140 a month just from that alone.
Every Bulls game's on there?
I got all my Bulls games. I got it set up. They record for me every night. I don't have to hit a button. I set it up for record every Bulls game. I'm watching them all. And Red Zone, about $8, like the last gentleman said. And it's been working out really well.
Okay. Sounds like there's some options
there's
out there.
There's some options.
Guess who? I was unaware of.
Hey, somebody's got a Red Zone tip for you, too. Justin and Joliet. What's up,
kid? Going on, fellas? Yeah, a little tip. If you're on the road or anything like that, I did do the Hulu like the first two, the other two callers did. Great stuff. You get your balls, like you said, Red ticket and all that. But the mobile Red Zone is also clutch, too. You know, I had to go Apple picking a few Sundays ago during football. You get the Red Zone ticket on the NFL app. Bam, you're right there with Scott Hansen. You're good all day.
Is that extra, though?
I got it in the beginning of the year. It was about $37 for the whole year, but I'm sure it's cheaper now since it's half the season's gone, but that's clutch right there.
Yeah, on the go. Not
all right, Justin, thank you for that tip. I got Marty on the northwest side. He's got a tad bit of advice for you, Carm.
Hey, what's up, guys?
What's up, Marty?
Hey, I'm an Eastern Illinois alum, Yurko. You're a Charleston legend, buddy.
You. Panthers, my kid. Panthers.
That's right. Two things. One, after you get all that stuff, but you pay for the internet, so you can cancel Comcast, but you're still paying for your internet. You got Netflix, Hulu, all that. It all adds up to the same. But if you switch your Comcast to, like, say, if it's in your name, put it in your wife's name, you get the new deal, so you get 2 years, and it knocks your Comcast price all the way down.
Ooh,
so I bought a new house. I switched my Comcast from my apartment to my house, put it in my name, and my Comcast bill is like $115 a month, and I get
thanks, Marty.
HBO, Showtime, all that stuff.
That's Smart nice. Thinking. Hey, Carmen, would your wife hamstring you?
What does that mean?
Remember? Do you remember in the movie?
Do you trust your wife,
Carmen? Do you trust your wife?
Completely.
You doing Shawshank?
Shawshank Redemption on the roof. Do you trust her completely?
Yes,
I do. He's going to throw him off the roof?
Yeah.
All right.
That's it. This guy's taking a header.
We got more. Ozzy and Bridgeview has just said to hell with it all. Ozzy, what's happening, kid?
What's happening, gentlemen? Good morning.
What's up,
Ozzy? Listen, I have a solution for you. If you go to Walmart or Amazon, get yourself the S1 Superbox.
S1 Superbox?
Yep. Get the S1 Superbox. You plug it up to your Wi-Fi.
I dated a girl with one of those.
You know what? Listen, I get to watch every single sport event, whether it's here in the States, Europe, NFL, Major League Baseball, and even the pay-per-view fights, like the Canelo fight from a week ago.
Well, but like Meller said, is it only a matter of time before the leagues all crack down on that and they take it away?
You know what? Potentially, but hey, for the $300 that you invested it, if it lasts you a year, 2 years, 3 years,
you made it out like a bandit.
Everything. It pays for itself.
Made out like a bandit, Carmen, and you're
made out like a champ, man.
Superbox. Look at Ozzy. I never heard of these things.
All right. Hey, we got a guy that just did it, Carmen. He did it all. Kevin in Decatur. Kevin, welcome aboard, kid.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
What's up, Kevin?
Yeah, I literally just did this because I had the ESPN Plus. And then I said, screw it. I figured I might as well get all three. So I upgraded. Thing was, when I called in, it was kind of a pain in the butt. I was on the phone for like an hour trying to get them to sort it all out. But they did upgrade me for free. Like, I didn't have anything to add because I already had the ESPN Plus. Now, Carm, you might have some different in yours because you don't. Well, you already have the Disney. So,
maybe they'll upgrade you. Yeah.
Maybe they'll upgrade you for free. Problem was, I was on the phone for like an hour.
How about that? It's going to take a little bit of time.
And with they were asking with the live TV, like, that was another thing, is it was extra. Like, they'll give you Disney Plus, ESPN Plus, and Hulu.
Right.
But then for, like, live TV, it was even more money.
Yeah.
So I said, screw that. I wasn't going to do that.
They take every nickel and dime.
Yep.
You see what's happening
here? Kevin.
They're squeezing us.
I know it.
Nonstop.
Boy, are you kidding me? Like at the pumps nowadays, kid, the gas pumps. All right, we go to the city with no pity, Calumet City, to answer the toughest question in all of America. Eric, what are your thoughts, kid?
So going back to the whole Frozen isn't a Christmas movie thing, I think it is.
Yeah, thank you.
I think the do you want a new GM parody is a brilliant idea. The Bears are just lacking in management. Good thing I'm a Cardinals fan, though.
Arizona Cardinals?
Yeah.
How'd that happen?
I'm a younger guy. I'm 18. So right. My first NFL game was Madden NFL 10. Larry Fitzgerald was on the cover. And
there you go.
That's it.
That's all it takes when you're a kid. That's how fandom can be born and made.
That darn Madden killing
Absolutely.
Me.
Absolutely.
Thanks a lot, Eric. Out of Calumet City, kid. That's where I grew up.
Out of Cal City, and he's a Cardinals fan. Do you think Eric knows the history of the Arizona Cardinals and how they started here on the South Side?
He may. He might understand exactly 100% of that, yes. I mean, you don't know. Maybe he. I mean, it's up to him. It's incumbent upon him 18. To go ahead and research all that, Carm.
18. He's just a kid.
18. Oh.
Thanks for listening, Eric.
Remember when you were 18?
Oh, my God. Barely.
That movie. You know what? 18, he was just a kid. What movie is that? That's Finding Forrester, kid.
Is it?
I love that movie, the kid writes the thing, and Sean Connery's up there, and he said, this isn't my writing. He goes, this is his writing. And he goes out and looks at it, and the guy wants to disqualify him. And then the guy shuts everything down. He says, I'm on the committee. I'm this, and I'm in charge of this. And he goes, is this your writing? And he goes, yes. He goes, 18. My. The writing was exceptional. So, 18. Just a kid. You're right. But some countries, they consider an 18-year-old kid a man.
Well, yeah.
If you can go die for your country, aren't you a man? Scotty in Highland Park wants to compliment the good kid. Why not? Scotty, take all day. Go ahead and get started.
Take your time, Scott.
What's going on, guys? I'm stuck in traffic. And, Yurko, I just have to commend you on a joke. Well done. Appreciate it. The caller didn't appreciate the joke, but the Super One Box, the girl you dated, that was amazing. Good. That almost made me crash the car.
She was technologically savvy. We know she was ahead of her time.
That was a good line.
Thank you. It's what I'm here for, guys. And, you know, sometimes people get the line, sometimes people don't. Either way, I throw it out there for people to, you know, absorb and digest. Thank you. I'm glad that somebody out there got it. I am on fire, Carm. I won't lie to you.
Will ESPN put the man in the arena anywhere else at any point, or is it just you've got to get ESPN?
Let me ask you a question. Is that a replay? Because I saw an ESPN product that had a Drew Bledsoe and a Tom Brady in it.
Well, they might have been. Maybe you saw a promo or something.
Nah, I think it was a Bledsoe thing that they've done in the past. Then he ran into the same thing at Dallas. Mm. With, you know, the other guy, the boobly one. Bill Parcells. Yeah.
Oh, Bill Parcells.
He got hurt there, and then Tony Romo came in and took a spot.
Yeah, I think you're right about that, actually. But that's got to be something totally different.
Did he go to Buffalo after New England, too?
Yes,
he did. Yeah, I think he did.
That's where he was traded in the division before he went to Dallas.
Yeah.
Boy, Drew Bledsoe to Eric Moles, that was a good connection.
And let's face it, the guy's got a gazillion dollars now.
Oh, yeah.
Drew Bledsoe. One bad session of grapes, though. Boom. They're taking the winery from you, kid.
No.
All your vines gone.
Is that right?
Can I tell you, by the way, Drew Bledsoe, one of the nicer guys you'll ever deal with.
That's what I've heard. He 100%. Yeah, York played against him.
Carm, I called him in the hotel room the week before they were in the Super Bowl against the Packers.
Yeah.
Bill Parcells, I called him first, hung up the phone on me, couldn't have waited to get off the phone.
Is it in the book?
It is in the book. And then Bledsoe couldn't have been nicer. Was awesome.
I've heard he's a good guy.
The problem is you get one chinch bug in your winery, boom, it'll shut down all your vines. What are you going to do?
Chinch bug. I am not drinking any Merlot.
Yeah. Manganese, I'm not going to drink any.
Another movie, Sideways.
Merck, if I wanted to buy this book,
Jeff,
could I find
it? Thank you, Jeff. Someone is letting me promote this thing.
I bought my copy.
Behind the Glass, thebook.com. Behind the Glass, thebook.com. And tomorrow night at Claim Company. Claim Company is moved, by the way. I've had a couple people tell me, it's in Northbrook Court. It's no longer in Northbrook Court, but it's right off the highway there on Dundee, off Skokie Boulevard. So the 6:30, 8:30 tomorrow, the book release party at Claim Company in Northbrook. I think Yurko's coming.
I'm going to be there. It's a big to-do. I mean, I can't wait. Yes. What kind of horse d'oeuvres are we going to have, huh?
I don't know.
Are we going to have any lobster bites?
It'll be just like the B'nai Mitzvah, York. We'll serve food a little later, okay?
No, I'm surprised. Yeah, 6:30 to 8:30. They'll serve food at 10:30.
7 months later, we're already redrafting. Let's get nuts. We'll play it for you coming up next.
Hello, my construction working friends. It's the good kid, Johnny Wheel Loader. If you have a heavy load you need to move, Alta Equipment has the construction equipment you need to move all those heavy loads. You won't believe how many heavy loads their equipment has moved over the course of time. Great reputation, 7 locations around Chicagoland. Alta Equipment is your one-stop shop for new, used, rental, parts, and service. Visit my guys at altaequipment.com because uptime matters.
This is Carmen and Yurko on ESPN 1000.
See what we're up to.
See them on Twitch at ESPN 1000 Chicago.
A couple weeks ago, Yurko asked on the air, he said, hey, let's rank the rookie quarterbacks that have played the best. You know, that's a fine exercise. I think everybody would say Mac Jones, right? I mean, Mac Jones also has the benefit of being in the most stable system with the best coach and a good offensive coordinator, right? I mean, like, there's no place you'd rather be if you're a young guy than the Patriots, would you, Yurk? Because it's stable, and Belichick's great, and their defense is good, and they're probably a playoff team again. And, like, it's they don't screw things up the way a lot of franchises do, the way the Jags do, the way the Bears do, you know, the way whatever the way Houston does. Like, they're the Patriots.
You know, we talked about their defense yesterday, too. Remember, they had the most guys defensively that opted out last year during COVID.
Yeah.
And they got a lot of those guys back.
Yeah, and they had, a couple offseason departures. Right. And so you're right, like, I mean, Max played the best, right? I mean,
early on, because he's probably in the best situation with a solid defense and a head coach that knows, and an offense coordinator that they know how to utilize and maybe get the best out of their quarterback and not put them in precarious situations. So, yes, it would be advantage Mac Jones right now. And really, the comparison between the two, Justin Fields and Mac Jones, that's the only comparison the Bears fans can make.
Right.
Because you chose Fields over Mac Jones.
Yeah, exactly.
And the other guys were taken before, so you never really had a shot at those guys.
Yeah.
So 5 years from now, that's what we'll take a look at and see what's happening and what's going on. I still wouldn't take Mac Jones over Trevor Lawrence.
So that's where I was going.
Yes.
That's where I was going. So, like, discussing and debating who's played the best, who's in the best situation right now, who's going to be in the playoffs, like, yeah, I mean, it's Mac. Redrafting? I mean, 7 months ago was the draft, and we're redrafting already? This is where it gets a little bit more complicated. But I get why the shows and the talking heads have to do it. But this is McShay talking about redrafting this year's quarterback class.
You look at it, I think Trevor Lawrence, to me, still would be the first guy off the board. And I think basically you're basing that on his potential and what he's shown, the progress from the beginning of the season to what we're seeing now. The big change for me would be Mac Jones, instead of being the fifth quarterback going to 15 overall in New England, I would have him at number 2. Now, if he was playing for the Jets with their, you know, the people around Kyle Wilson there and forced to throw the ball down the field and create as much as Wilson had to do when he was healthy, I don't know that it would be the same result. But Bill Belichick and Josh McDaniels, the offensive coordinator, have had a great plan for Mac Jones. They knew coming in he was a fast processor and he was great in the pocket and he throws accurately, especially underneath, and he's done a lot of that. They focus on the running back very much in the passing game, and they've brought him along as the season's progressed, and now he's kind of doing a lot more than he was in week one. After that, I would take Wilson still. I know he's had the struggles with the Jets, but put him in New England, and I think things would be a lot different. And after that, I would go Justin Fields. Even though it has not been a great season for him, a lot of turnovers, I still think he has the ability and the deep ball accuracy, which was great in college. You would like to think it's going to improve in the NFL at some point. Then finally, Trey Lance, I would put at number 5, simply because the sample size is basically just one start. And we don't know what to expect from Lance moving forward, but we certainly haven't had enough to downgrade him based off of his draft grade.
Yeah, and had enough sample really with any of them to start doing an experiment like this.
Right.
But it's a relief to hear McShay say it's still, if you're redraft, you're still taking Trevor Lawrence 1, right? I mean, we all agree on that?
I think we do agree on that. And the Zach Wilson thing, because the New York Jets, you just cursed. I mean, it's even
like
Sam
Bears.
Darnold looked good in Carolina.
I was a little surprised, though, that he still would put Zach Wilson above Fields.
Me too, maybe.
That's what kind of like.
Me too, maybe. But I think, again, it kind of goes back to, like, the situation. They're a lot like the Bears. They know just how to screw things up, right? The Jets know how to screw up quarterbacks. They know how to screw up offense. They're equally inept.
But you're right, Carm. But, and again, it's a small sample size. But based on what we've seen so far,
What has Zach Wilson done? He's had a 5-interception game against the Patriots. He's been injured.
Hasn't he had a 4-interception and a 5-interception?
Well, that was Mike White that just had the 4-interception.
No, but I thought, didn't they pick him 4 times in one game too or something?
Maybe I gave him an extra one somewhere. But like he's had some bad performances. Has Zach Wilson had any really? I guess they beat the Titans in a weird game, right? That was Zach Wilson's start.
That's
his high moment. Whereas Justin Fields, I think the last game was Justin Fields' best moment, right? And then he had a couple nice plays against the 49ers. Maybe I'm biased, but he's trending in the right direction. Whereas Zach Wilson, I'd be concerned right now for the Jets.
I think they're missing the boat too. Todd McShay and the crew.
Mm-hmm.
I would want to redraft the wide receiver class.
Oh, maybe
that. And let's go there, because I think he had 4 or 5 wide receivers taken in the first round.
Well,
let's break that down. I mean, Carm, I don't know about you, but if that's what we're going to do, I just want to dive right into it, you know?
Well,
I'm being a smartass.
Oh, okay.
Okay, I'm being a smartass. You really can't do any of that.
You can't.
Chase is good. Waddle's got 60 receptions down in Miami.
Devontae Smith had a good game the other day.
Yeah, Devontae Smith, I think, is fantastic. I think those three at the top were really good.
Yeah.
Bateman doesn't have all the, or Kadarius Toney's got some receptions. I got him in front of me. 28-352. He hasn't scored any touchdowns. And Bateman's got 18 receptions. So everybody's playing, but the top three have been the top three, and I think that's where they belong.
Bateman was hurt early, too. He missed like the first 5 or 6 weeks.
By the way,
Bears will see Bateman this week.
Right, Kyle Pitts, the fourth guy taken.
Yes.
Atlanta's very happy with Kyle Pitts.
They are. Although you wondered, yes, he's excellent. 40 catches. I think he had a couple big games already. We're going to see Thursday night the Patriots visit the Falcons. I would bet Bill Belichick going to put He's going to be bracketed. There's going to be 2 guys on Kyle Pitts at all times.
There might not be a Cordarrelle Patterson there either.
No, correct. He's got the ankle injury.
So that's going to be a problem for them.
I got to play this for you, though, too, Garm, because this was floating around in light of the redraft of the quarterback class. So 2 quick sound bites. They're both 14 seconds apiece.
Okay.
Mac Jones, you've talked about how the landing spot is so important, the coaching staff, right?
Yeah.
This is Mac Jones, his answer to a question in July of 2021, right as training camp has started. Don't even listen to what he's saying. Just listen to how he's responding to the question.
Comes in Maxonville.
Yeah, there you go. Good to see you guys in real life.
Yeah.
Mac, you yourself is part of an amazing talent over the last 4 or 5 years, quarterback.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
You've been surrounded by such great quarterbacks over the last 4 or 5 years.
There's him, very jovial, right, responding to a question in training camp. That was July of 2021. Now that he's been in the Patriots building for a few months, listen to Mac Jones answer a question in November of 2021.
Yeah, I think today was good, but definitely some stuff to clean up. We all made an agreement to focus on Thursday, and nothing in the past matters and nothing in the future past Thursday matters, so we're all on the same page there.
That's awesome. Well,
he's been Belichick.
He's been Belichicked already.
Been Belichicked.
That is pretty spectacular. Yeah. You know,
gone is the happy-go-lucky kid.
Yeah.
Now is the quarterback machine that New England produces.
Gone is the guy with the shirt off, right, with the spare tire, and the cigar in his mouth after winning a national championship. And here to stay is, we're on to the Falcons.
I mean, is there any question why Tom Brady decided I got to get the hell out of here?
After 20 years, Brady was probably like, I can't do it anymore. Yeah, I need to smile a little.
Smile.
I need to have fun. But, I tell you, the guy knows how to win football games in New England. That's for damn sure.
I know the one song he's never sung, I Can't Smile Without You. To Bill Belichick. Oh, no, he's smiling more than he's ever smiled in his life.
They all say there's a fun side to Belichick, believe it or not. It's just away from...
Yeah, it's a long way away.
Belichick, cameras and, right, and like in game week and stuff like that, there is a fun side.
He's a big Howard fan, isn't he, Carm?
Huge.
Yeah.
I guess he's a big fisherman. He loves the fish, I think, in the offseason. There are things. It's just I don't know that we all know them well enough. And there's a side to him that sounds like it's funny. Just he can never be that way in and around the building or around those players. It's the whole, no days off and it's all business. And
it
served him well. So what can you say?
One of my favorite stories is when Waddle was they were scrimmaging against the Browns in Platteville. Or maybe I think it was Platteville. And Belichick was up with, he was the coach of the Browns. And he liked Waddle, I guess, and he saw him like one day, and he came up to him and goes, "Hey, Timmy, how you doing?"
That's great. Timmy. Timmy Waddle, how are you?
Timmy,
two times.
Good man, Timmy.
Big time, Timmy Jim.
You imagine he's probably looked at 50,000 names over his lifetime in a draft.
Of course.
You call a guy Timmy instead of Tommy, does it really matter at that point?
No, it's about
the same. I mean, Todd McShay in that clip called Zach Wilson Kyle. So yeah, he's the draft expert.
Right. Exactly. It happens. There are too many names, guys. You're right. There are too many. Sometimes it amazes me how coaches do remember almost everybody that ever played.
You know, you
talk about a big roster in football.
The first 2 weeks I started here, Yurko had called me the wrong name.
What did he call you?
I don't remember, but I was too nervous to tell him because he was like, you know, part of this great show, and he's Yurko, and I'm like, I'm just this little producer, so I just let him call me the wrong name for 2 weeks.
Yeah, I think I called it. It began with an M and an F.
All right, very nice.
Yeah.
Our teammate Tony Rizzo,
hey,
I heard.
Hey, Blankety Blank, get over here.
I heard our teammate Tony Rizzo went nuts on Baker Mayfield. I want to play that, too, before.
Defending Baker Mayfield, I believe.
Oh, he was defending Baker Mayfield.
Yeah, he was going after the gold hammer.
Oh, I love it. Because, see, they're on opposite. I remember when we had them on. Like, I remember Goldhammer was more in line with us. Like, you can't really pay Baker Mayfield, can you?
Yeah.
Oh, and so he was going after Goldhammer.
Yes, he was going after the Goldhammer.
I want to hear it, man. Mellor was telling me about it before the show. I want to hear that. We're also going to get a Bears update. Back to work Wednesday. The Ravens are coming in, and JD's going to join us from Hallis coming up next. Hey, guys, it's Carmen. Have you walked into a Pride store recently? Not your typical convenience store. Oh, no, contraire, mon frère, as Yurko would say. Trust me when I tell you, nothing compares to the Pride stores. Beautiful inside, clean, everything you need, name brands you're going to recognize, all the stuff you'd expect at a great convenience store. And then add-ons like craft sodas on draft, made by the Pride store at select locations, including flavors like watermelon, strawberry, lemonade, and pineapple. Country-style donuts. How about modest nitro coffee? Yes, it'll pick up when you fill up. Whether I'm in need of a quick meal or just some gas, I'm always greeted with a smile. The Pride stores are family-owned and operated. They've got 15 Chicagoland locations, so find one today.
You're listening to Carmen and Yurko
on Chicago's home for sports.
ESPN 1000. Don't miss a minute of Carmen and Yurko. Tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
Week 11 as the Bears hosting the Ravens as a 6-point underdog. Yeah, maybe that's good for the Bears. Dogs are killing it this year at about 58% in terms of winning against the number. Let's bring in Jeff Dickerson. He's covering the Bears. He's at Dickerson ESPN on Twitter. He joins Carmen and Yurko every Wednesday. JD, what's up, brother? Tevin Jenkins is kind of one of the big stories this week as he has been, you know, thrown into that window. He's practicing, and at some point they're going to be able to tell if he can actually get on the field this season, right?
And that's certainly, Carm, a great development. Absolutely. It's great to be with you guys. We'll hear from Matt Nagy coming up in about 10 minutes or so, and we'll kind of see how it went on Monday. You know, they were off yesterday as they get ready for the Ravens here on Sunday. But certainly, if you're going to open the window and let the guy go out there and practice, the thought is if he looks good enough, you would love to have him active and playing some role this year. Now, I don't know if you just thrust a guy into game action that hasn't played as a rookie. I don't think that's the way to go. I think it has to, you know, you want to bring him along slowly if possible. But that's your second round pick. You moved up to get him. You invested a lot in him. So trying to get him out there doing something year one, I think, is very important. I think the Bears believe that, and they're going to see just kind of how it goes. I mean, we could talk all we want right now. You know, 3 days from now, the back could act up again and this whole thing could get scuttled. You know what I'm saying? So we just have to be patient, see how it goes. But certainly him at least having the window being opened for him is a very encouraging development. No doubt about it.
What else do you think they did during the bye week? I mean, you like to think teams take an inventory. They say they do. We've seen them, you know, still suffer some of the ills that have plagued them in any other week during the season the last couple of years, where they're just offensively very pedestrian and mediocre. Can they build, and did they use the bye to maybe build off the momentum that Justin Fields and the offense gave them, you know, last Monday night in Pittsburgh?
Carm, I have heard the whole self-scout thing over and over and over. You know, self-scouting is great, but the most important thing is either you're good or you're bad. Either you're a good team or a bad team. And by this stage of the season, I think everyone kind of knows what they are. And I don't think the Bears right now can in any way say they fall into the good team category. So what you have to hope for are some breaks, some advantageous quirks in the schedule. Now, I don't think Sunday is one of them. I'll tell you that right now. I don't think that's a not a good break playing the Ravens, even though you're at home.
Angry Ravens team.
Yeah, that's a, that's going to be tough. You just gotta try to hang on and get back to 500. And what they really need, and we've talked about this for a while, they just have to go on a winning streak. They have to win like 3 in a row, 4 in a row, to get some juice back here. Other than that, it's all just talk. I mean, all the self scout and we know what we're doing wrong. Well, if they knew what they were doing wrong, guys, they would fix it, right? I mean,
right.
Fine.
Yes.
You know. So I don't buy any of that stuff. I think the bye is good just for the guys and everyone just to get away and live a normal life and, you know, go to your kids' games and like Nagy did, you know, with his son playing in a great, great high school playoff game over the weekend for Lake Forest. You know, just get away, clear your head, come back, feel better physically, and get to work and see what you can do. But I don't know if what happened in Pittsburgh is going to jumpstart them as an offense, but I do believe that that was a really – important moment for Justin Fields to, you know, have that throw to Jimmy Graham early in the fourth quarter, to come back and hit Robinson, then hit Mooney and put him up by 1 point. That's great stuff. And now that's not going to, like, you know, make him a franchise quarterback this year or anything, but you can stack those moments and build on that stuff. That's going to really bode well for him in the future.
Yeah, you said it, get away, kind of clear your mind and hopefully get healthy. Is this team any healthier going into this one?
You know, we'll find out today, Yurk. We'll get the first report today. I would think that having Khalil Mack sit the way that he did, that the expectation would be that he's going to play kid against the Ravens on Sunday. And same thing with Eddie Jackson. Those are the two big ones. And now, obviously, you got Tevin Jenkins. The window's open for him, so he's getting back out there. So, yeah, Yurk, I could argue that they seem like they're going to be healthier. Now, let's see what happens if the report comes out today. But I do believe that the arrow is pointing up for both Khalil Mack and Eddie Jackson to get back out there this week.
Well, that's good. All right, was the team satisfied despite Nagy? I still can't get over his answer Monday when you guys talked about their dealings with the league, because it was a poorly adjudicated game last time around the field. We all know that at this point. Was the team satisfied? I don't know what else you could do about it.
Well, what are they going to
give you a win? But
officiating is bad everywhere. You know,
yeah.
Officiating is bad at every level of every sport. You know. You come watch some of these youth games with me, guys. You want to see bad officiating? But no one wants to be an official. I mean, it's kind of like a dying breed of people, you know, that want to put up with all this stuff. In the NFL, the calls have been very bad and very inconsistent. So at that point, listen, we could talk about blown calls. They didn't play great against the Steelers. You know, if a couple of calls go their way, do they win? I don't know, maybe. It's not a slam dunk. So I don't want to use the whole, like, hey, we got jobbed by the officials and that's why they lost. They lost because they weren't as good as a very average Steelers team. And that does not speak very well of the Bears. So, yes, I think Nagy and them should move on from that. It's over. And just see what kind of calls await them this weekend against Baltimore.
JD, great stuff, buddy. We'll talk to you later. All right, we appreciate
great
the update.
Great talking to both you guys. We'll talk soon.
All right, JD.
There's Jeff Dickerson at Dickerson ESPN.
On a team that needs to go on a 5-game winning streak.
Good luck, man.
Yeah.
So, Yurk, set up our guy Tony Rizzo. So he was actually defending Baker Mayfield?
Yeah, he went on an impassioned plea because the gold hammer was on him. You know, he's been on him. If they took him in the first pick, first round, he was going to eat poo-poo. And that ended up happening. And then, you know, gold hammer, I don't think he's ever been really enamored with him. So the gold hammer might have been riding him a little bit. Or, you know, hey, if this doesn't work, maybe it's best for the Cleveland Browns. Yeah. And then our guy Rizzo went on an impassioned plea.
You happy? You happy? Are you Baker haters? Are you guys happy? Baker looks bad. And you want to jump down his throat. I'm a Browns fan! I'm a Browns fan! It's like you're rooting against our quarterback. Like you want him to fail. To prove what? What? You were right? Do you realize what happens if this kid isn't the right guy? We're going to suck again. You don't find quarterback. It took you 20 years to find a guy to win 11 games. Now you don't think he can take you the rest of the way? Are you happy? I hope you're all happy. I hope you're happy. So you could draft some quarterback in the 30s and try and pray that he's going to be. Don't you understand? if Baker fails, it's back to the drawing board for my franchise. We know that everything has to be right for Baker to win. Sobering stuff for me. This year's been sobering. However, he's got a bad shoulder. He's got a broken bone. He's got a bum knee and a bum foot. He getting beat up. Maybe he can't play the position. Maybe he's just not physically able to play the position. And at what point are you going to just keep running him back out there? It was clear to me that he couldn't plant yesterday. The foot thing was more than I thought, truly. He looked like crap. He looked great the week before. He looked bad yesterday. I know you're all ready to run him out of town. And that's fine. I don't know if he's the guy or not. I don't. And I'm starting to have real doubts about it. And it hurts. But I just can't believe I told you, I told you, I told you. Shut up! No one wants to hear I told you. You're not a Browns fan.
Is that it?
Yes.
Carmen?
I like it, though.
Yeah.
And I don't think it means you're rooting against your team when you're just realizing that your quarterback's not the answer. Look, we lived this with Mitch. People weren't rooting against Mitch. At some point, I think fans in the organization can see that, yeah, look, he's not a second overall pick. He's not the quarterback we need. Like Yurko always says, he's not the quarterback we can pay $30 million to.
Right, and that's the decision.
He's not. I mean, like that, and Yurko and I have been saying this forever. We said it about Goff. We were always surprised that they paid Goff. We said it about Mitch. We'll say it about Baker.
Cleveland
Browns to pay $30-something million dollars for Baker Mayfield would be insanity.
Let's go back in history. Kirk Cousins wasn't going to be happy signing the 15th highest contract for the quarterback. He ended up signing the highest contract for the quarterback at the time. Baker Mayfield's not going to be happy signing the 15th highest contract for a QB. When you got a chance to become a free agent, you put the screws to the team and you try to maximize your deal. That's what you've got to be careful about if you're a club. And I call it the Joe Flacco effect.
Yep.
What happens when they had to pay Joe Flacco at the time with a lower salary cap? Yep. They had to dump this guy and this guy and this guy and that guy. All these guys that helped get him to the Super Bowl, they ended up getting rid of those guys. And guess what came back the next year? Oh, my God, the Baltimore Ravens were not that good. They weren't as good as they were in it before. Why? Because you took a bunch of pieces of the pie and you got rid of them.
And I don't think Browns fans are happy at all. I don't think Bears fans are happy that Mitch didn't pan out. But
and
yeah,
I think Rizzo even knows and states that, hey, yes, he needs this. And okay, is he willing to sign a $22 million deal?
Going to have to reset it if he's not.
Yep. 5 years, 110. Not a problem. Hey, I will give Baker Mayfield $22 million. Not a problem.
We have the same pain as you, Riz, and everybody in Cleveland. Yeah. Us, too. We're looking for, hopefully Fields is the answer, but we've been looking for a quarterback for six decades.
And
hey, coming up next, you know about Merkel's boner in baseball. There's another one for the MLB Network. We'll play it for you coming up next.
You're listening to Carmen and Yurko on ESPN 1000. Follow at Carmen DeFalco and at Yurko64 on Twitter.
Carmen and Yurko on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Yurko, it's awards week for MLB. Merck and I are waiting with bated breath for tomorrow night when they announce the NL and AL MVPs. I mean, we know the AL, obviously, is going to be showing. We're hoping it's Bryce Harper in the NL. We each are sitting on a Bryce Harper ticket. Merck's is more valuable than mine because he did a preseason. I made the bet like in August when Bryce was down to, I think I have it at 4.5-1. So we're hopeful for that. Managers of the year last night. But what they're doing on MLB Network is they're bringing in like guys that have won the awards to introduce this year's winner, right? You got it, Yurk? That's what they're doing?
Yes, yes, that's what they're
doing. So here's it's Anzinger, right? Greg Anzinger?
Anzinger.
The host of one of the big hosts on MLB Network, getting ready to introduce Bruce Bochy, who's going to introduce the manager of the year in the NL. Let's take a listen.
Without further ado, Bruce Bochy, take it away.
Well, I'm still waiting for the news here. I'm sorry.
No, go right ahead. I'm sure you're waiting for a text message to get to you right now. Is that what it is?
I guess. Hold on one second. I'll see if they sent on my. Yeah, I'm not going to be that guy that announces the wrong guy. I'm sorry. I haven't got anything. So I'm not going to go out on a limb here, Craig.
You're totally fine. Let me know if you get a text message in the next five.
Okay. I'm all set here.
All right, you go right ahead, Bruce. Live TV at its best.
Yeah. No, it's my great privilege to announce the 2021 Manager of the Year. And this man, he led his team to a franchise record, 107 wins. The winner is Gabe Kapler.
That's the best. And
then you're giving it away with 107 wins. Announce the name and then say what he's done.
He handled it pretty well, though, there. I got to admit, because, like, whose job is it to send the text when they forget to send it? He doesn't want to pull, like, at the Academy Awards a couple years
right.
ago.
You know, wrong movie.
I'm just going to say
La La Land.
La La Land.
The NL Manager of the Year is La La Land.
La La Land. Yeah, wait a minute. No, it's not. It's the wrong
Don't you
one.
Think they would have told him, like,
Well, I'm sure. Look, I mean, it's no secret. Didn't they get Bruce Bochy because you knew Gabe Kapler was winning that award, right? That's why you've got.
No, I don't think it was. I think I don't
oh,
think
it
was necessarily.
That? They didn't, it wasn't that. Because, I thought they were like they were going for like
Mike Socha gave it to Kevin Cash. So I don't know if it really. I think it was just a previous, you know, previous winner was the hook.
Okay.
So it didn't necessarily have to be Boch because it was Kapler.
I wonder if Boch didn't know.
He didn't. I think that's clear he didn't know.
Because he said, I don't want to get, like, I think he had an idea, but he's like, hey, I'm not going to say
it. I mean, listen, we all expected it to be Gabe Kapler. But,
right.
But until you get the, how, like, they couldn't text him at 5 o'clock Central?
That's what I'm wondering. Like, why wouldn't you send it? How could you not send it at some point during the day? And just be like, hey, yeah, Bruce, here it is. This is you know, don't say anything.
What if he had bad cell service in his office? Why don't they email him or something official? Or someone, whoever's responsible, give him a call and be like, hey, Bruce, just so you know, we're going to give it to Gabe Kapler ahead of time. You know,
what does the accounting firm think about that? That they're just they're ripping off text to one another, you know?
Like,
here's the text.
It's a whole MLB network. The whole, like, the only thing they have going on in the month of November is their award show. And you think they might dot the T's and cross the I's, right?
It's not. Bruce Bochy is like, I don't know. Who is it? You guys tell me. Congrats to Kevin Cash. I think he's the first ever AL manager in back-to-back years.
Correct.
Of the year. Is that
correct.
Right?
Huge blow to Cap, though, because Tony La Russa did not win.
Tony La Russa didn't get a single first-place vote. Did anybody think he was going to win at this point? I mean,
Cap did.
No, he didn't really, did he? I mean, you might have thought that like in June, but
all I heard in August was how Tony La Russa was going to be the manager of the year.
No. I mean, look at the way the Mariners finished the year, for crying out loud, with that roster and what the Rays did again. I mean, you could tell that there's not much love for Cora and Hinch either. You know, I don't think either one of them got a first-place vote. I think the voters are going to, for a long time, hold that against them. I think at least a contingent of them are going to hold the cheating scandal against them. I mean, Alex Cora didn't get a single vote, right, for first?
Well, it was before the playoffs, so it's only regular season, right?
Yeah, it is.
They kind of they faded down the stretch in September, right? Like,
boy, look at that.
They were only a wild card team. So
that team from a year ago to this year, with the manager, though, being the difference, really.
No, I understand, but don't you think that played part of it?
Yeah, I guess so.
Like, if Alex Cora had won 107 games and then didn't get a vote, I'd be like, okay, they're clearly penalizing him.
Maybe you're
right. But I think Kevin Cash was the rightful winner.
I do, too. No, I do. I think that is. I think either he or Service had to win the award. I think they ultimately got it right. Tomorrow is what we're waiting for. And congrats to our guy Tyler Rocky, one of our producers, who cashed on Jonathan India at like 40-1 to win Rookie of the Year.
Wow. Yeah.
He should be buying us sandwiches, Yurko.
Well, he only works with us about once every 4 weeks. So,
oh my God.
I mean, it's hard for me to call the young man who's not making the kind of cake you and I are, kid, and saying, hey, you want to bet? Now it's time for you to pay for sandwiches.
Bulls have the Blazers tonight.
It's hard.
I think Dame's game time. Dame's a game time decision to play tonight. Bulls are, believe it or not, they're about a 1.5-point underdog tonight. I love DeMar DeRozan telling Chris Haynes of Yahoo that he goes, yeah, when the offseason started, he thought he was going to go home to Southern California and he was going to be a Laker. And then they pivot and they go out and they trade for Westbrook and they can't afford to keep Caruso. Lakers fans are like beside themselves. They're like, how is it that the Bulls have DeMar DeRozan and Alex Caruso and the Lakers could have had both of them and traded for Buddy Hield? I love that we're like the envy. You know, Lakers fans are envious right now.
What are they blaming the Lakers for? I mean, what is Lakers management? You blame LeBron James. Isn't he the guy that runs the show there anyway?
Kind of. Doesn't he?
Isn't he the guy that makes the calls on whatever's going to happen out there?
Maybe he sat out this offseason. I don't know. Normally,
where was he? China?
LeBron. I don't know. Normally, LeBron tells the team, like, hey, you've got to go get this guy, and this guy. And Maybe he wanted, I don't know. Whoever they're mad with, I just love that they've got angst, Yerk. And it's like, hey, the Bulls have...
Yeah, I don't mind if the Lakers
have angst. The Bulls made all the right moves. Like, it's fabulous.
They won the COVID championship. Congratulations to them.
It's such a nice reversal. Bulls and Hawks on late tonight. We'll save everybody tomorrow. We'll talk about those games. More on the Bears as they get ready for the Baltimore Ravens. Thank you for listening, emailing, and participating and calling the show today. Thanks to Randy Merkin, Midway Jeff Meller, and J.R. Strauss. And we will see you tomorrow, everybody. Greeny's next, into Waddle and Sylvie, and then Bleck and Abdallah. So have a great day. Bruce Bochy's got the final word.
Carmen and Yurko present today's final word.
Because you had to be a big shot, didn't you? You had to open up your mouth.
Today's final word.
You had to have the last word.
On Carmen and Yurko.
Without further ado, Bruce Bochy, take it away.
Well, I'm still waiting for the news here. I'm sorry.
That was the final word on Carmen and Yurko on ESPN 1000.